Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Cow Daily. I'm coming in like really kind of low beat this time, like lo-fi. That's what I've got. How are you doing, Alice? You all right?
I'm good. Yeah, not so bad. Bit of a manic day, as you know, but yeah. Hi.
you got in with like 30 seconds to spare. I like that.
Yeah. Slid in 30 seconds to spare, swearing.
Swearing, but yeah, and that's always a good thing. Yeah. I just like to apologize from the jump about my rudimentary setup. I'm actually in Holland and I'm just trying to, like, I couldn't get everything to the right height and everything like that. So I'm now looking like this kind of like black goblin figure in a pine warehouse. If I do this, it's like even more goblin-esque.
You look like you're in like a sauna or a treehouse.
Dark Orko. Dorko.
You really are Dark Orko as well.
I have come as Dorko this week, man. Check it. I've got the glasses and everything. What have you come as, mate? Dorko. See, there's a lag on this stream, right? We've been talking for over a minute and only now people are coming in. If you let me know in the comments whether you're here. And all of that good stuff, and we'll say hello because I did a few like bits like last week, and the lag on it was ridiculous. So I just thought I'd mention that.
We've always had a bit of a one, haven't we?
But it was ridiculous. Like I did about, I think, 19 minutes, and at the 20 minute mark, people started piling in. I was just wrapping up. So if you want to listen to those things back, go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts. This show will be on there straight after this as well. So it's all good. I'm actually getting a bit hot wearing this like goblin hat, cloak, whatever you wish to call it.
I'm not surprised. It's nowhere near as bad as last week where I thought I was like going to die. I did brave wearing a bit of makeup this week because last week I didn't bother because it just would have melted off me like that Nazi at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. But I thought like maybe it is a little bit cooler now, so let's
that's one of my favorite visual images when I want to traumatize myself from childhood once again. the Nazi face melter. Actually, it's not that as traumatic as it was then because I didn't really understand like all of that kind of thing, but now for the purposes of Facebook guidelines, I really think that's a really bad thing and these things should happen. Violence is never the answer. Anyway,
I think it's great. I think Warship Down.
I think violence is great. Like
Warship Down traumatized me. That scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark didn't.
I'm probably sounding like that. Who was that woman who with the blue rinse from Coronation Street with the bad throat? Phyllis Pierce, the one who was basically made out of Lambert and Butler and purple hair dye. That's what I sound like. I've got some like proper throat going on. I even did a COVID test. It might be here. No, it's in the bin now, but that was negative. So I've done two in the last few days. It's not that. I might just have like a common, a garden cold type of arrangement. Who knows? So, right, who got in? Imagination Scene. Hi, Imagination Scene. There's a new name. Robert Grady's in.
Hello.
It took some time to get on here. Robert, can you let me know why? Like what was happening at your end? Because I'm trying to figure this lag out because it just kind of, it really stalls. But as I say, if you need to listen to them back, they're there for you upon the audio should you require them. Also, big up to the people who helped work. I did a bit of an experiment last week and released things straight away. 20 odd in the charts in like a death threat. So every week it's going out immediately plus extras. So we'll get back into the top 10 once again, then the top 5, then we'll take over from Nick Robinson and we'll call it the Battle of the Bastards or the Battle of the Bald or the Battle of the Twats. I don't know. But fuck Nick Robinson, basically. Actually, he features in the show later on, one of the clips I've dragged with him and Starmer. I kind of barely say that man's name. I can say that man's name from a working class perspective. Like he said it from like Coventry, from a toff's perspective. Coventry. How dare such a pack of scumbags dictate the policy of my party? You basically might have got wind already that we're going in on Keir Starmer. In. There's in, but we're going to mix it up by going in on two former directors of the CIA. This one out of many may get us fully black bagged for the first time.
I was about to say, like, you know what? I ain't even going to fight them anymore.
Just I don't care. I'm just going to chat me shit with you and then wait for the inevitable. That's basically what's happening now in my life.
I don't just say in. I'm like, yeah, all right.
Hey, just don't do the face, guys. I'm too beautiful for that. Be gentle. Use the chiffon bag, the black one.
Oh no, it has to be black. That's my only specification.
That's what I need. Silk. If I'm going to be black bagged, dragged off to re-education camps, I want it to be silk. I don't want it to be any other. Like, I mean, I've already just figured out my skin, you know. I've only just got rid of like the tough, hard skin, and now I'm soft again. I can't be having that ruined by assailants from various alphabet agencies in the middle of the night.
It has to be silk, like a weird, massive Geordie caterpillar.
For real, that's what we need. not it's not really, but we are going to chat some shit about the CIA. Anyway, Zoe's in the house. Hi Zoe, nice to see you there. Robert's bringing something up. Oh, it's after the arse exploded last week. That might get us black bagged more than anything, just for crimes against humanity. And also, do you remember those screenshots I was sending you the next day, Alice, of your reactions?
Yeah, that was wasn't pretty, but
neither was
the story. So you know what? So I just decided to horror bag you back with some doctored photos.
My inbox was horrific the next day. Gigi Allen, that kind of thing. Loving it. Keep them coming. Magic times in life. Mm. Right, I'm gonna like move this on a little bit because I have got legitimately a fucking rad throat, so probably best that we do. This week we're going to talk about Starmer, probably Starmer's Nana, and everything to do with that hateful bastard, with and on behalf of the people of Liverpool and others. Fuck Keir Starmer. Let's be really clear. We're also going to talk about the CIA, where angels fear to tread. And we're also going to give an honourable mention to the RMT, who are train drivers are striking tomorrow. They're mostly as left, but the RMT out in force on the news again. And I've got a little clip that you haven't seen coming at the last, Eddie Dempsey, just body bagging right-wing ghouls once again on the telly. Loving it. Also love Eddie Dempsey having the slight air of a trainee boxing promoter under Frank Warren or something like that. He'll cut ya with his fucking blade if you don't get right. I should have left it there into the first bit. I mean, Cockney accent's absolutely abhorrent. Anyway, Alice.
That was.
Yeah, cheers for that. Like, get the badge in, lads. Get the badge in. It's not just Radjis can wear them. Dickheads can too. So anyway, what shall we do? Hold on a minute. Let's go with this. Please subscribe to the Cowdilly YouTube channel. It really does help work because it helps us to monetize the channel as we start that off. As I said before, obviously we're doing quite well on the audio, traditionally done well, but we're really trying to push the video. We'll really be going for it start of the new term in September when I have a settled housing situation. Out every Cowdalian day, but for now please watch everything via YouTube and help us monetize it ahead of the start of the new term, where we'll look all bright as a button with ruler haircuts and pressed trousers and looking like we're budgies died with shoes that are two sizes too big, because if you're anything like me, by the end of term they would fit you but they'd have holes in it from constant football. That's an aside. Keir Starmer's a dickhead. This has been Cow Daily. Bye. Fuck the CIA.
Just swinging wild. Why don't you?
You might as look. If you're getting black bagged, right, you might as well go balls deep. There's no point in like just going, yeah, they're a bit bad. Woomf. Middle of the night. Gone. Fuck them all. And then just you'll probably get like Guantanamo a bit. Anyway, do you want to know what it says on my running order, right? Like the first thing, intro about Starmer being a shit cunt.
Yeah, I did see that. On the
show. You wouldn't get that down the BBC, would you, Nick? Anyway, here's a video. Nick Robinson, Keir Starmer, and then we'll react to it.
So you say that you're abandoning the last Labour manifesto. You're abandoning your own manifesto when you ran to be leader. You said in your famous 10 pledges you'd work shoulder to shoulder with trade unions to stand up for working people and tackle low pay. Well, I'm not clear you are doing that.
That's why we've already produced an employment green paper. We launched it at conference last year. That gives day one rights to everybody at work. We did that in consultation with our trade unions. We've already made progress on that, standing, as you say, shoulder to shoulder with working people.
That doesn't give them a pay rise, though, does it? Let's turn to nationalisation. Yesterday on this programme, your Shadow Chancellor, Rachel Reeve, seemed very clear. She seemed to be saying, forget all that stuff about nationalising the railways and the water companies and the energy companies. I then go to a certain Keir Starmer's pledges when he became Labour leader. Pledge number 5, public services should be in public hands, not making profits for shareholders. Who's running the Labour Party these days?
Well, Nick, look, a lot has happened in the last 2 years. We've been through COVID. We have debt on a scale we've not seen, for a very long, long time, if ever before, and we have to go into the next election making choices, exactly as Tony Blair said, where we have to say we will do X because we can afford it, but we might not be able to do Y, and to be open and transparent about it. And I don't think anybody would say that nothing has really happened in the last 2 years that's changed our finances.
But to be clear, so that people understand it, you're saying there are things that you promised when you ran for leader that because of changed circumstances, you are now not promising.
Yes.
Yes. I am a liar, yes. And here's some mealy-mouthed bullshit. When I gave out these 10 pledges, the pandemic was happening. Anyway, Alice, what do you think of this?
I mean, is this the, like, you know, when they were going on about, like, Starmer being elected, they're like, oh, yeah, his QC background, he's going to be really good at, like, kind of arguing and sort of, like, debating and stuff and things like that. Is that really what we were looking at there? Because that was kind of pathetic. And also, right, I just want to check I got this right before I go in. Did he really say, like, when he was asked about, like, working, you know, being on the side of working people and why he isn't anymore that, by attacking unions, that was showing he was on the side of working people? Did I understand that right?
Well, what he's been held accountable for, and something I'd like to point out, Nick Robinson's holding him accountable now. It's like easy to do, and Johnson's gone, and whatever the establishment want to do. Exactly. So it's like, let's go in on Starmer now, and then bolster the next Tory incumbent, be it Sunak or Truss. Which I'm not even asked that we're not talking about because nobody's covering this type of stuff and what we're about to cover, Ford report-wise, etc. What he's saying, like holding him account on, is his 10 pledges, which he's broken every single one of, which obviously does say within it, like, the nationalisation and there's a commitment to nationalisation. Apparently at the time he wrote to the head of the CWU union, there was a guy who was standing for election, I can't remember his name, Dave somebody, and he said to him, and he made a commitment that he would re-nationalise the Royal Mail while it was happening. He's reneged on that too. So in short, yes, in answer to your question. So what do you think about this in the sense of Miller Cow page for one in the comments, right? I've done a lot of work recently in terms of me writing on Starmer and the lies and the plans for the NHS and privatisation and. So what do you think in light of all of that? In the comments, there's still people piling in going, we've just got to get the Tories out. But more and more we're seeing things like this where Starmer's being exposed for who he is. He was elected on false pretences as Labour leader. Yeah. Where do you think this is going to go?
I have been seeing those comments and I've got to say I'm at a loss to understand it. And that's even when you do put in the effort to try and kind of reason with them and say, if, you know, it's not about the team. And that's kind of ironic coming from people who, you know, kind of said that, you know, that people supporting Corbyn were like a cult and everything like that. And, you know, it's not about team. It's not about one person. It's not about Corbyn. You know, he's not the leader of the party anymore. Hasn't been for quite some time now.
Over 2 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. 2020, yeah.
So what it is watching what Labour are doing, and that is, you know, as we've seen with the Ford report, that is kind of sabotaging kind of any person with any kind of like trace of socialism in them, within the party. And they've not been, you know, with the exception of one or two MPs who are going against everything they're being told to do by the very top, they're not fighting benefit, you know, they're not opposing benefit cuts, they're not opposing privatization. In fact, they're coming out with their own versions of it. They're not stopping deportations, you know, they are literally feeding into soundbite politics. Mm-hmm. Rachel Reeves is absolutely hideous. Really, like, not as bad as Wes Streeting, but in my opinion,
she sounds like Starmer in a wig. Have you heard her? Like, rawr, rawr, rawr. Does that kind of tones? Jay, you ever seen the Vic Reeves thing where they do that golden retriever and it's like, my wife's gonna kill me? properly sounds like that, but when they try and put Senti Borrell on, like, where they try and be a bit posher, my wife's gonna kill me.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I would ask them is, you know, if you say, oh, anything's better than the Tories, I would say, who for? Exactly. You know, there's still going to be millions of people living in poverty. What you may be meaning is that, you know, because things are, you know, as we know, things are getting much, much tougher for the middle classes now. And it's, you know, maybe, possibly, and not guaranteed under, you know, this version of a Labour government, things might be a little bit better for those people. But fuck the rest of us, eh? Like,
no, that's the vibe, isn't it? It's like, sort my mortgage out, stabilize my house price, and I'll look the other way while I'm like going through the quick check out at Waitrose.
Yeah,
it's a fucking piss take. Like, I don't care about politics at all. 2 seconds, I'm just going to clip my mic. It's kind of redlining a bit. This is what happens when you're on the road, your levels get a bit fucked, right? Just done that pro style, anyway. It's that self-interesting again, and they're trying to frame it like we're the ones who are supporting the Tories by actually pointing this shit out. Well, like, maybe it's by proxy or something, but if it's two cheeks of the same arse, then like, I'm really advocating for something that is new and something that we can build. Now, straight away, it's that disingenuous argument that comes where it's like, well, what's the detail? Give us like this fully costed thing that you're going to do. Fuck off. Any new movement starts by generating hope and builds the detail in later. I mean, it's basically we could rip most of the 2017, 2019 Labour manifesto. We could take that and then repackage that. And it's not necessarily about winning an election. It's about moving things a bit to the left at first. But that's one way of eliciting changes we fucking go on about all the time. I'm behind the trade unions. I'm behind single issue campaigns. And I'm putting my energy into that. It boils my fucking piss to the level that I piss myself laughing quite often when people like who do fuck all on the daily, other than every 4 or 5 years, put a cross in a box, thinking they're like out here fucking making a difference and they can even chat shit to people like us. Like, I've said this many times, the days of trying to fucking mollycoddle people like that are fucking over. We've got a climate crisis coming. Well, it's here. Fuck coming. And the cost of living crisis, which is going to get much worse with the energy price cap rises in the autumn. We haven't got time for this Starmer politics of tinkering around the fucking edges. Now, there's something I did want to pull up. And you mentioned Rachel Reeves just before.
Mm-hmm.
And one arm of the Labour Party doesn't seem to know what the other one's doing, or she's dumb as fuck, which is more likely, and she's just blown what the actual conversation is behind closed doors. So it reads this. From the Independent, Labour will not nationalise rail, water, energy, Rachel Reeves says. So later on, probably an hour later after the reaction to this, quite rightly of outrage, given it's the fucking Labour Party and the commitments that Starmer had made to get elected as leader, this came out. Sienna Rogers like reports on, like, I think it's for a Labour list or something. Update, I'm told Labour's position on rail ownership has not changed. Rachel Reeves didn't hear the rail bit of the question on Today This Morning. Really? Is that right, is it? So it also goes on. Chloe Chaplin says, asked to clarify his view on public ownership of energy and water firms, Starmer says he has a pragmatic rather than ideological approach, and then vaguely adds that he wants to prioritise a partnership with businesses. Starmer has pushed again on what his party's stance is on public ownership, specifically when it comes to rail. He repeats that he wants to be pragmatic about this issue, so it's clear his priority is not going to be about making... 2 seconds, this StreamYard things went absolutely rad again. Just bear with us. Bing, bing, bing. Absolutely fucking jokes. Right, we're back. Anyway, so it's clear his priority is not going to be about making promises about any kind of public ownership. Alice, what do you reckon of that? For me, before you do, pragmatic seems to be shorthand for these ghouls of like, well, I is, but we're going to try and dress it up as something that it isn't. What do you think?
Yeah, it's that, to me, it kind of, well, one, it's that it's, I think we can, I'll now put money on that pragmatic is going to be their new buzzword, you know, their new soundbite that they're going to use. And it's basically what that infers is that anything which kind of suggests that is, you know, it's a fair deal or bringing things back under public ownership so that people aren't getting ripped off. It's like, oh, it's a pipe dream. It's, you know, you're just idealistic, like head in the
cloud. We saw this in the Blair era. It's about taking the wind out of the sails of people who want rational policies. Now, we've got to stop using words like radical. There's nothing radical about the rationalism of like solving the cost of living crisis and also climate change. People, even Corbyn tweeted yesterday, like, oh, we need radical this, radical that. We don't need radical fuck all. We need rationalism. The radicals are the people that we're talking about here, like Starmer, by trying to beige everybody out of existence until we all get fucked in a fireball. Absolutely. Sorry, I forgot I wasn't on screen there. I'm back. No. It was like you were like a ventriloquist dummy there, like, man. Sorry, go ahead, man.
No, I think that's it, but I think people are seeing that, and you know, people don't wonder, you know, people aren't buying into this anymore. I think this is why we are seeing a much, you know, trade union membership is starting to shoot up now, particularly from young people, and that is a good thing. And I think we're going to see them be more involved with their unions as well. It's not just, you know, because it isn't just about paying the dues thing, it's about organizing your workplaces. Which is absolutely right, because what we have the Conservative Party and Labour both saying is, you know, they've both been openly attacking unions this week, and you know, absolutely pulling them to bits. But that's coming from both Conservatives and Labour. And now you don't get to say you're on the side of working people when that's who you are. That's what the Labour Party was built on. And they're still trying to coast off, you know, the actions of those people years ago who built it and, you know, gave it the reputation for being for the people.
Yeah.
And yet they will, you know, they're just like, they're a parasite that's taken over it, parading it around.
You know what the Labour Party is to me? Rizlas. You know why? Now, Rizlas, they're like concertinas. They're living off the old school name. Shitskins. That's the Labour Party. Rizla.
Right. You can tell how long it's been since I've had a rollie.
Dude, I use a pipe now. I'm just like aware, you know. Like, I know what's going on in the cannabis community. Rizlas are shite. And that's Labour. Like, they're just like all fucking... Well, I was going to say all style. They're not even that. Like, they're just not substance either. They're nothing. They're nothing to anybody. You know how people have been like pushing for like what do they stand for and all this? Well, yesterday, Wales pushed to put this out, right? Which is their so-called principles. This from The Guardian. Starmer sets out 5 principles he says will form basis of Labour's approach to promoting growth. Starmer says Labour's approach to boosting growth will be based on this. First, we will be financially responsible. Second, we will be distinctively British. Third, we will work in partnership with business. Fourth, Coventry. Sorry, no, we will re-energize communities and spread economic power. And fifth, we will refocus our investment on boosting productivity. I was once a human rights lawyer, you know. now I'm a sellout. What do you think of that?
I think the only thing I've read that's worse than that is like my poetry that I used to write in sixth form. And it doesn't mean anything. And I think it, you know, trying to pass it off as having some substance in its tried. Like, it's
absolute tried. Look at this one, though. This one to point out, right? Second, we will be distinctively British. What does that mean?
Exactly.
What does that mean? And what kind of dog whistle ass shit is that? That's like, yeah, we'll be distinctively British. One, the people you're pandering to in the so-called Red Wall just think you like that shit, all that shit that's been going around WhatsApp groups about him and Jimmy Savile, right? That ain't happening, mate. You cannot be wrapping yourself in a flag and playing to those fucking cock weasels. So you fucked up there. You're not getting elected without Scotland either. So does that include Britishness? Like, that's a bit more complicated up there, because Scotland's kind of like, in some respects, split down the middle. You've got the kind of Rangers fan right wing wrapped in the flag bit, and then the very opposite. So, like, and the very opposite, in some respects, like, especially latterly, they're the ones that maybe would have been more likely to vote Labour or some kind of socialist thing. But you're pandering to something that doesn't exist based on focus groups you did 2 months ago. And it's such a fast-moving feast at the minute. Like, they're literally appealing to nobody other than people who can still afford to shop at Waitrose, I might add. And they're not the majority. So what are they fucking playing at, like? What they're doing?
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, what does distinctively British mean? You know, do we all sing the national anthem every day when we wake up? Do we, you know, are we eating Yorkshire puddings? Are we going to colonize Africa again and like, steal all of their shit and put it in museum? I don't know what that means. Like, that's what I don't understand. It's just, as I say, it's soundbite politics. It means absolutely fuck all. Like,
no, absolutely fuck all. No substance for people living in poverty. More and more millions of people. And it's just part of that Westminster bubble bullshit where they just haven't got a Scooby-Doo what goes on in people's lives. And they've spent the last 2 years clapping themselves on the back for running decent people out of the party on some spurious shit. Yeah. Check the Ford report if you think I'm wrong.
Well, it's all, yeah, that's the first thing on there. I mean, apart from the fact that they don't tell you one single thing that they're going to do with those principles, that first one, we will be financially responsible. And it's that, what, so you're going to shift funds around to, you know, to safe seats again, you know, like you have been, are you going to be using that money from your members, you know, who are trying to, you know, who are joining the party to try and affect like even the slightest bit of change, to deliberately make your own party lose the election? Is that financially responsible? Fuck off. Like,
well, yeah, the party's almost bankrupt and they're talking about fucking financially responsible. Like, let's see what happens when these court cases drop about data protection, and look at the amount of money, like, especially around the Panorama program, when there was and you can check this in the Ford report as well, they were handing out like out of court settlements left and fucking right, and the lawyers were even saying at the time, oh, you'll probably win, why are you doing this? Like, they don't talk about fiscal responsibility, which is their whole fucking five principles based on growth. And this is more back to the neoliberal Blairite shit. It's with growth, then wages will go up and we can talk about it then. I've mentioned this so many times. There was a fucking Harvard study recently which demonstrated trickle-down economics, something we already knew from our communities, does not work. The money does not trickle down one little bit. Eddie Dempsey will talk about it a bit later on in the program when we play his video later. It's absolutely insane. However, we're going to be coming back to this absolute dafty later on. So, but until then, I think it's time to do something which is a little bit of a change of gear and could potentially get us black bagged. This first video is former CIA director James Woolsey.
Country's elections?
Oh, probably. But it was for the good of the system in order to avoid the communists from taking over. For example, in Europe in 47, 48, 49, the Greeks and the Italians, we
don't do
CIA.
That now, though. We don't mess around other people's elections, Jim.
Nom, 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 nom. Only for a very good
cause.
Can
you do that? Do a Vine video on a former CIA director.
Only for a very good cause in the interests of democracy.
All right, thanks for being here. It's good always to great you. To see you.
Num, 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 inflicting pain and death and murder and all manner of other things from our hired killers who do the coups, where when we're just cooing it up around. We like remove democracy to advance democracy because that's the good old US of A. Thoughts, etc.
Holy shit. He doesn't even try to hide it. And then they're kind of like having a good laugh about it as well. Like that is, I mean, obviously we know that they have done that. Like that's kind of, you know, so it's not that I'm shocked that, you know, they've done that because fucking know that they've done that.
But like we've been called conspiracy theorists and all manner of other shite.
But know that they've just kind of like laughed about it.
Resume change. Oh my god! For like the guy behind the camera on Fox News is like, oh god, do more, do it again, do it. Yeah. We'll embed us. We'll do it. We'll wear fucking webcams and stream it.
Do that in the interest of democracy. Just like Chile, yeah.
Hey, Allende. The original September the 11th. Check it out, everybody. Anyway, do you want to see? Like, do you want to see? You may think, hey, one CIA director, he's just having a laugh on Fox News. This is John Bolton, former director of the CIA on CNN.
On our democracy. It's Donald Trump looking out for Donald Trump. It's a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence.
I don't know that I agree with you, to be fair, with all due respect. One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat, not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work.
As somebody who's fucked people's lives up as well, in continuity with my homie there, James.
But it wasn't here, so that's okay.
Is there a sniff of socialism in Latin America? Looks like they need some democracy. It was a fair election? No, our democracy, the one with death.
Like, I'm laughing about it, but like I can like almost hear my amygdala screaming at the same time. It's just like this is not okay. Like
I can really feel not. The force of the ghost of Hugo Savage. It's just Chavez. The ghost of Hugo Savage. Why can't I say Chavez right now, man? Like, what the fuck? This is when it starts, isn't it? The CIO started projecting like mind fuck beams through the computer. I told you. Get a bit of sticky tape over your webcam, but you couldn't see us then. See if I wear me goblin helmet. Kind of garris.
Put a bit of tinfoil on, see if that works.
I show them me Stone Island badge and the kind of garris because they think I'm proper hard.
Yeah, I'm gonna check dysnomia hiss for wiring.
do you wanna see this? I wanna show you in particular something that'll boil your motherfucking piss. Look at this. Here's a list of US coups confirmed, the master list. Instances of the United States overthrowing or attempting to overthrow foreign governments since the Second World War. There's an asterisk next to it which indicates a successful, if we can call it that, ouster of a government. The source on this is Code Pink, an activist group in America. Some notable ones. We wanted like to point out, due to your heritage, Somalia, 2007 to present. Will that be a tribal matter for you there, Alice?
like 2007 to present. I mean, to be fair, in Somalia, it's been going on since before then. You know, it's been, you know, colonial... I can't say colonialist now. Maybe there is something in theory.
Yeah, there is, man. They're getting with.
yeah, you know, so they've had just, you know, the Somali people have just had about every European leader you can think kind of fighting over them at the minute. So, and that's kind of why the country is in the state that it is. I love getting into arguments with people on the internet who try to tell me with, out any sense of irony that Somalia is an anarchist state. Let's not even
get into anarchist theory because that would mean referring to this book, the one you lent me a while ago. It's Noam Chomsky's Complete Guide on Anarchism.
But like 2007 to present, like
crazy man.
Oh no! Oh, brilliant! I've just noticed Somalia makes the list twice, so we've also got 1993 in there.
Killing it, yeah! Like literally, this is some Black Hawk Down business, isn't it? I mean, there's like what I've noticed is though it doesn't seem to be up to date. Because if it was, then we might see United Kingdom 2019. Yeah. Did I say that? Damn. Might as well go full on for the black bagging now.
Yeah, but I mean, Somalia, it's just like, obviously that's where my granddad was from, and you still used to see, like, within the community from, you know, kind of people of his generation where the beef would spill out into, like, the communities and stuff, because what, you know, kind of what, you know, kind of what Britain did, what, you know, Mussolini did, what the, you know, the French did was, you know, they would all kind of play the clans and the tribes off against each other, hence why, you know, certain family members were, you know, swinging hammers at people in the middle of the street and stuff.
That was in South Shields, though, to be fair. So, like, yeah, you know,
around about the 90s. But that's kind of, you know, that's what you're looking at when you've got different clans who are being pitted against each other, all being promised, you know, a slice of, you know, a slice of whatever. Yeah, and it's still going on now. It's still being subject to airstrikes from Biden, and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on.
Like, perpetual war, that's what they're like. It doesn't matter who's in charge, what or whatever. Like Obama, I think he's still got the record for the most drone strikes. Not him personally, but he's got to sign them off by presidential decree. So, you know, where was the hope and change for the people on the end of that? When I think it was something like 87% of the people were innocent, had nothing to do with terrorism, but they were meant to be surgical strikes. They're about as fucking forensic as Keir Starmer. Fucking absolute cunt. So anyway, they're saying the quiet part out loud now when it's just all a big laugh. Here's the thing, a point I want to make about like media in America. Fox News just having a giggle about it. CIA, they don't really, CIA, CNN, they don't really react to it. It's just kind of like, oh, like a moderately disapproving look. And that's back to that Chomsky thing around the acceptable amount of opinion that's allowed within that kind of like mainstream media context. I mean, there's like plenty of stuff come out about CIA embeds in media organizations, similarly to Secret Service embeds in places like The Guardian and other media outlets, some of them independent media outlets. Maybe we'll talk about that one day, who knows. Anyway, moving very fucking swiftly on that one as the Spice Lord retreats. What do you think of this? I mean, like, basically they're just having a laugh and a giggle about something which like has literally ruined millions of people's lives. I mean, if we look at the School of the Americas and the death squads and the army officers that were trained there to run these death squads in a lot of these countries, obviously specifically in Latin America, but there was others coming in, paid off African mercenaries and people in their proxies. What do you think about this? Like, it's like just saying, yeah, we're fascists. Because if you're talking about democracy, then removing people's democratic right to self-determination because it doesn't align with America's foreign policy goals, and then wrapping it up under like fighting fucking communism or whatever you want to do. Like, socialism is not communism. Socialism, you can still have all your bullshit and be rich, but it just means people have somewhere to live and eat and all that cool shit, you know, the basics. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Get on your bullshit still. As long as our people are taken care of, have your stupid little fucking elite games with all of your bullshit and all of your little factions having your little fucking fights and shit. We just want to heat and eat and all that cool shit. Maybe have a pint, you know. Maybe buy some weed. Who knows? That's about all people give a shit about, really. Just let that happen. And I don't understand why they don't just like carry on with their bullshit, knowing they could just break off some for everybody else. What do you think?
I'd say it's never ever been like that, really.
No,
you know, we've had, and there's a you know, it's about having that power, and it's about kind of the wealth hoarding, and that's that, you know, that's kind of all, well, not maybe not always been the case, but pretty much, yeah, I would say
thousands of years basically.
And we can, you know, we can do things a different way, but when we, you know, it's unless something major happens, you know, I think I'd always say, like, you know, really oppressive regimes are always overthrown in one shape or another, and
inevitable.
You know, we are going to see something coming over the coming years. You know, it's not sustainable the way that we're going on. I think people are.
Listen, we've got Martin Lewis saying there'll be civil unrest in the UK, in Britain, and it's like the most middle of the road former Liberal Democrat you can ever know, and time for him, I do, but he's middle of the road. He's like the Coldplay of Gadgets, isn't he?
I want to watch him snap, though. I really want to see Martin Lewis eventually just losing his shit and leading a black bloc and hoying a Molotov the HQ of British Gas. Like, I do. Like, this is all I want.
Because you can state, but also get cheap glasses from selectspecs.com. That's how I found out about these. Yeah. Martin but Lewis. Like, cheers, Martin.
You know, you've got, this is like, because he was a guy who just like started off like kind of, you know, kind of advising people which ISA that they should be using to get, you know, a bit more money back on their thing. And now he's got people ringing him up saying, like, how do I heat up my baby's bottle? And, you know, how do I, you know, do I put the heating on tonight, or do I use my dialysis machine? And that's kind of the situation that people are coming in, and he's going, I can't, you know, there's only so much people can do to reduce their bills. There's only so much they can do before you've got to say, it's not them being irresponsible with using energy or, you know, their food. It's a deeply political problem. And I can't keep telling people that it's because they're just not managing their money properly, because that is actually the problem.
You've got a man who's made himself a millionaire by telling people how to manage their money more effectively, you know, a noble quest, whatever. He's done his thing. He's made his money, but he ain't shutting up, is he? He genuinely gives a fuck about people. I could see it in the passion in his eyes as he was thinking, maybe it's a brick through a bank window is the strategy now. And if it you've got Martin, somebody... Can you imagine it, man? He started stenciling like money saving expert like logos with like an anarchy A through it on Barclays Bank, and he gets caught. That would just be like ultimate Matrix tells. Let's take some comments before we go on to the next one, because we damn sure we'll get close to this hour, believe me. Slaz. Arit Slaz. Am I late or are you too early? We're early, mate. I'm in Holland, and the time differential is 1 hour, and it would just be, we're staying with my partner's family, and it would just be like, I just don't want to be finishing that late. You know what I mean? I want to say hello. I've worked hard today and I haven't actually seen them since they've come in. So I just thought, like, rather do this a bit earlier. And Alice, quite frankly, is a star for allowing that process to happen, Slaz. What else we got? Lewis Johnson, new name. Nice to see you, my friend. Imagine if JC is like Jesus Christ or Jeremy Corbyn. For some, it's one and the same in their cult. No, I'm just spouting cunt talking points. If Jeremy Corbyn had been confronted like Starmer was yesterday, it would have been shown every half hour as the news channels did the headlines.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would have done. So turbo true, doesn't it?
Cannot agree more.
Wow to wow, as we're saying, Gated. Wow to wow. So I can't, the veracity of this claim, I cannot established Jason Carbis. So if you would like to provide links, he's saying Anderson Cooper, you know, the one who looks like Max Headroom with a mad grey hair ass thing going on. Well, Jason maintains, and that's the opinions of Jason, the contributor in the comments, he's CNN ex-CIA. Really? I've not seen this, but I guarantee I'll be rushing to Google after this. Jesus, get the links in.
Yeah,
get them links in. My God. Joanne, hello, Joanne. She's saying, Gwan Martin Lewis. Joanne, I'm not actually Martin Lewis. When I put the hood on, right, it's like, oh, it's Martin Lewis. it's not the real Martin Lewis. It's the goblin. So I'm really the goblin now. Slaz, oh, what's this? A link straight away. The Grey Zone, Vanderbilt, Anson Cooper, CIA College. Mate, nice one. That's my reading for a bit later. Happy bloody days. Right, get this off. I'm just going to get this off in case I get Martin Lewis. So he's getting the black bag. If he doesn't shut up, they're not going to have him, are they? Right. Yeah. I'll just pull up my running order here, my dear, because it's went off. Right. So we're done them. Oh, this is the one I've been waiting for. This is part of our ongoing, like, love of the city of Liverpool, the people within, and their living embodiment of do no harm, take no shit. Some of the soundest people going, but I swear, and I know this through personal experience, never, ever, ever disappoint, upset, or do what this fucker Starmer's done to a Scouser, because this is what's going to happen to you.
Can I just say that I don't know how you've got the guts to come to this city after you have been being interviewed and doing columns for the Sun newspaper, after the way we as a city were abused, and after the way we as a city, the Hillsborough victims, were abused by that paper, and you've come here. Secondly, you lied to us about uniting the party. I'm still a Labour Party member, and you've expelled and witch-hunted in the most vicious way I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I've been a member of the Labour Party for a long, long time. You have absolutely said you had 10 pledges, you were going to carry on the Corbyn legacy. And ever since, you've done nothing but distance yourself from the ideas which tens of thousands of people joined the Labour Party to support. And you, all you've done is feed into the Tory ideology of not supporting strikes, of carrying on with the privatisation of our health service. You're doing everything to feed into a Tory victory. Because we may as well have a Tory if we have a person like you who lies to the party. It's a dishonesty.
Thank you very much.
And our health service is going right down the pan. And you have a big responsibility, the working class people of this
country. Can you move back, please?
Excuse me. Don't be getting physical with me.
No, I'm not touching you. Can you move back then, please?
You're touching my breast.
Can you move back, please?
Now move back.
Toilet's over that way.
What an absolute knob rotter. Like, what you're saying about Starmer's face.
he looked so uncomfortable. And I love seeing him uncomfortable. But do you know what? He did absolutely nothing to try and engage her. He just kind of looked like really uncomfortable. Rabbit caught in headlights, was looking to the people around him as if to say, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, get the peasant away from me.
Yeah, man.
Kind of vibe. And that other bloke who then, like, does try to go in. I mean, I thought she was going to break his nose. It's like, don't touch a Scouse woman. Doesn't, because she is going to nut you.
I would love to have heard who stuck a head straight on him.
Yeah. But too right when he's saying, I'm not touching you. Like, you could, like, literally see, like, well, yeah, you are. You know, it's not like she was lunging towards Starmer or anything like that. It's not like she was trying to physically attack him or anything like that. It's like, why shouldn't she get the opportunity to say that? And honestly, she said it so well. As well, every point she made was absolutely bang on.
Spot on.
Yeah, no, all the power to Audrey. I fucking love her.
I love her too, and I love the fact that people are just like, because he's trying to distance and shield himself from just any kind of accountability, because he knows what it's all about. He knows what's coming. Like, yeah. You can't go around doing dirt like this and expect to just live in this bubble. Yeah. And to just get away with it, especially if you're going to go to Liverpool after what you've done. It mm-hmm. is abhorrent what he's done. Now, I haven't got time for it in this show, but we did a video on why did the Liverpool fans boo at the FA mm-hmm. Cup final. We talk about Thatcherite managed decline. We produced the documents. So we haven't got time for it in this show, but we've done it already. So there is a specific clip. So if you go to Cow Daily Clips folder on the channel, you'll find it there. Absolutely disgraceful and disgusting that he thinks he can just, like, mug it off like that. And just, he was questioned on it, right? On BBC Radio Merseyside. And this is what he said. I'll play it, and then I'll be very interested in what you and obviously people in the comments have to say about this unbelievable response, in my opinion.
This is felt in Liverpool, and I know why it's felt so deeply.
On the other hand, you know, as Labour leader, I have got to get our message across to as many people as possible to ensure that we get a Labour government. And so many people now say the only change that we're going to get for the better for many places across the United Kingdom. In Liverpool, you know, you've got the choice between a Tory government that's cut Liverpool's funding to the bone. We need a progressive Labour government, and I need to make sure that I get my message to as many people as possible. But I don't want Brian or Dean or anybody listening to think that for a moment, having had that first-hand experience of the Hillsborough families, that I don't understand what they've been through, what they continue to go through. And I know that what happened in Paris has inflamed that again. And I went to the Hillsborough Memorial today just to, on my own, just to reflect, look again at the names and the ages of all those that lost their lives. So Brian and Dean, I do, and others, I do understand the strength of feeling. I completely do.
But did you think about those families when you accepted an offer, an invitation to write in that Sun newspaper?
Well, of course I did. Of course I did. And I'm not going to pretend that I don't understand how deeply they feel about it. And it's across the city of Liverpool. I understand that. On the other hand, I am leader of the opposition. We have to change the government, desperately needed for the people of Liverpool, desperately needed across the United Kingdom. And that means I have to make sure that as many people as possible hear the message of hope and change that I can put out there, Labour, in the hope that we can win that election. And when we do, so much.
What are you saying about this absolute horror bag?
What message of hope and change? And again, it's just almost like he's just said, like, yeah, I did think about that, but I did it anyway, you know, because I need to get to as many people as possible. How many people are reading the Sun newspaper these
Listen,
days?
I didn't pull out the figures, but they have very little influence as compared to, say, during the Blair era. And this is what happens when you have, like, some Mandelson as your fucking, like, Machiavellian string puller. Like, he's living in the past glories, past this, past that. But they're all hand in glove with Murdoch anyway. I mean, Blair's the godparent of one of Rupert Murdoch's children. And Starmer was asked recently, do you talk to Tony Blair? And he's like, of course, all the time. You know, and it's like, it's part of, it's just a tribute act to something that's dead. It's gone.
Well, he even quoted Tony Blair earlier in that first video that we showed. You know, it's like, you know, it's like Tony Blair says, it's like, oh, mate, I'm really not fucking interested in what
Nobody
Tony Blair says,
unless,
you know, unless it's in The Hague. And I think a lot of people kind of like feel the same. But
I'm a bike ride away from The Hague right now, by the way. I can go to the Morrow and just knock on the door and go, mate, you any news? Literally could go ride there in a couple of hours.
Looks a bit quiet in here. Have you got a suggestion box?
Yeah, man, I'll go and put a little note in the suggestion box. He's this guy. Can you sort it, please? If you're gonna have Slobodan Milosevic, I mean, body count.
Now, I feel like with Starmer, though, it's, you know, kind of what he said there, and kind of knowing what you do about him, that it's almost like he's kind of gone, you know, yes, I need to get it. You know, I need to speak to the working class. I need to speak to the proles. What do the proles like to do? Oh, I know. They like to read the Sun. Let's write something in the Sun and watch my poor children come flocking towards me. It's honestly, it's absolutely horrifying.
And it would be cringeworthy if it wasn't people's lives. And the fact that he's like stood up in Liverpool on the hustings as part of his Labour leadership campaign and played to the crowd in Liverpool and said he'll never write for the Sun. I got a big cheer for it, and I imagine a lot of votes too. Mm-hmm. And he's then just turned around and done exactly that.
And
like
exactly
been interviewed,
that.
Written for them, you name it.
And then made it worse by then saying, oh, then, oh yeah, I've been down the Hillsborough Memorial thing. Right, it's like, mate, sure.
On my own. I didn't have a camera crew there. And I just went myself because, I'm respectable
myself,
as fuck,
you
mate.
I didn't have a nice photo opportunity like I did when I went to the Holocaust Memorial and because he did that as well in case.
Well, I haven't even had a chance to cover that, man. Like in Germany, where I was at the time, it's like I'm following this shit around. Like, it's so disrespectful. And there's guidance in for all the German press and politicians on not using it as a sort of political symbol.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So don't, I mean, I'm surprised he's not going to be chased out of the, you know, I'm surprised he wasn't chased out of the city. But as, you know, as our Audrey said, you know, how dare you show your face here? How can you, how can you kind of look us in the face after what you've done? No, he's somebody who likes him. Tell me what he's proposing. Tell me some changes that he's planning on making.
Hope and change, man. What's wrong with you? It's hope and change. Remember Obama? He had hope and change as well, and everything changed, and there was loads of hope, and there's still hope now. Oh, wait.
Yeah, give me one of his specific policies, because I can't name one that he has.
Britishness, being British and wrapping sausages in the butcher's apron or something. I don't know what the fuck in hell these people are talking about.
The only time you ever get a hint of it is when one of them fucks up and lets something slip a little bit, you know, like Rachel Reeve, you know, saying we're not going to, you know, bring things back into public ownership, or like Wes Streeting talking about privatising, you know, like further privatisation to the NHS. That's when you get a little bit hint of what they're about. And tell me how that is better than a Tory. It's not. And if you, you know, if you claim that it is and that we just have to get the Tories out, then it's either,
honestly,
just team politics, or you know, it's kind of like you might be, you know, kind of one of the slightly more affluent who might end up a little better off, but with, you know, thinking you've got your conscience slightly eased, when actually for the people living in poverty, nothing is going to get any better unless we do it ourselves.
It's a morally reprehensible situation that's going on between these two so-called major parties in the UK. Things have to change. And honestly, the amount of times these 5D chess motherfuckers like plaguing my mentions, like coming at us with this shit. And it just seems to, like, the more I disprove their claims, the more it seems to generate more increasingly batshit responses. And it's just, some days it's just like, oh, just get fucked. Like, how much more evidence? If people like want to know more, they can watch plenty of videos, listen to plenty audio stuff on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And I've written tens of thousands of words about this issue. Starmer, Labour, Ford Report, and. Everything as usual, sourced, taken from report, taken from like valid sources. And still it's like, well, they're probably lying, right? And then if like they go here and this happens and then we'll get proportional representation, there's not a chance if they win an election and the first past the post that the Labour Party are going to suddenly make things harder for themselves by going for a proportional representation referendum. It isn't going to happen. They are going to privatise shit. And hold on, we'll pull these principles up again, right? All of this is focused around productivity, growth, neoliberalism, business, disproven, trickle-down economics is bullshit. They are living in the past like a Blairite tribute act. Just fuck off with this bullshit. We need system change and a reevaluation of how we do things from the ground up. We're going to die in a fireball because nobody's doing anything about climate change. And also, it could be a fireball from the bloody mass riots when people can't afford to heat or eat this winter. Fucking 10 million more people were dragged into this, according to Martin Lewis, into poverty. And it'll only be more in the autumn. That can't go on, man. It's crazy talk. And these fuckers tinkering around the edges. We'll have to move on. But don't worry, we'll be back with more Starmer in the future because he's an arse. Anyway, here's some comments. Guy Roberts, Rizzler would make a better PM than Starmer. I agree. A surfboard joint made from Rizzler that falls apart because they don't stick anymore would make a better Prime Minister than that shitbag. Lawrence Green. Lawrence. The impoverished workers bled dry while the wealthy idle cream off the profit with their share portfolios. Lawrence, quite frankly, that's communism. How dare you? Roberts saying, hold on, this mouse is playing up. It's not a cost of living crisis, it's a cost of greed crisis. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. At this point, hold on, actually, there's some new comments further down. See what else is being said.
I think anybody, while we're just doing that, I think anybody who thinks as well, and I think there are some people who think, oh, if we just get Labour in, we can kind of like force them left. Look at the US. If that's what you think is entirely possible, no, 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 it's not. That isn't how it works.
I'd just like to point something out as well at the close of the show, and it's possibly really contentious, but I'm going to fucking say it anyway. I appreciate that the mainstream media are barely going to give the Ford report a fair shake, right? They're just not going to do it. But certain people and organisations in independent media are fucking cowards. And all it does is it puts people like us out on a limb, because we came in like a fucking death threat. Not literally, it's a phrase in hip-hop, Spooks, if you're listening. So we came in like a motherfucking death threat. Just got, like, obviously, if you want to see what we think about the Ford report, go to videos and audio from last week. I turned around and there wasn't very many. Well, there was some that did, but there's some that mugged it clean off. Respect level, wah, wah. Just, I'm not mentioning any names, but you fucking know. You know. And that's just like, don't talk of solidarity, motherfuckers. Anyway, Guy Roberts, bring back the stocks and put all those bellends and get put all those bellends and power to go on them. That's your opinion, Guy. But I happen to think that might be something that would get us wrong with the guidelines. Any final thoughts there, Springer, before we give Eddie Dempsey the final thought?
Yes, I don't condone stocks. Use a trebuchet.
Yeah, man. I am Uhtred, son of Uhtred. Fucking get it up, yeah. Get them all in the trebuchet and fly them to the moon. Let them play amongst the stars. Let them see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. Had to, really. I just couldn't. I had it committed. I had to fucking go. Anyway, tomorrow, the Wednesday, doesn't matter what you're hearing this, because it's the weekly sort of roundup show and all of that. But tomorrow, the train drivers are going to be striking in full support of them as ever. Eddie Dempsey, who's like young Mick Lynch with hair, who I mentioned early on, who is heir of boxing promoter in training. Love it. Absolute working class voices kicking ass on the telly again.
Love it.
So without any further ado, I'd really like to give the last word to Eddie Dempsey of the RMT Union. Thanks for your time as ever, Alice. Thank you to everybody as well for tuning in. Please do subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, because leading into September, the start of the new term, that's the new term, we're going to be really pushing for the charts again. Just a really good way of getting visibility for what we're doing. I think we're both ready to push this on to the next level. I know I am. I haven't got mad ass brain fog illness shit anymore, so I'm just wanting to push it on. It'll be sporadic through August because my housing situation is not clear yet, but September, new term. In there, high speed internet, rocking it on. Eddie Dempsey, the RMT, you see? Let's hear him.
On our democracy.
That's not Eddie Dempsey. That, unless Eddie Dempsey used to be the head of the CIA, of course.
Don't tell me Eddie Dempsey was in the CIA.
Don't forget about CIA, Dre. But I'm going to be sleeping with one eye open tonight. Keeping my pillow tight. Gobbling up to fuck. We're hoping Eddie Dempsey's going to come and save us. This really is Eddie Dempsey. Bye-bye.
It's a bit of a cheek having a programme asking trade unions being greedy for asking for a pay rise. The FTSE 350 top companies in this country, their profits have gone up 73% since 2019. When are we going to ask, are they being greedy? What about the railway companies that have been ripping this country off for years?
The point is...
No one asks about their profits or whether they're greedy.
You're going on strike and it's going to impact everyday people going to work.
That's right.
Commonwealth Games. That's going to
impact... No, it's not at the start of the Commonwealth Games.
At its height.
It's not at the start of the Commonwealth Games. We didn't strike on the Commonwealth Games. It's the day before.
The day before it starts.
The day before is not the Commonwealth Games.
As it's starting, you've got people travelling.
It starts the day after. They'll be travelling on the day too.
To Birmingham for the Games is going to impact...
People will find it hard on a strike day. But people will find it odd when it's not a strike day, because there's people in this country spending 18% of their income travelling on trains. We've got the highest fares in Europe because profiteers have been robbing this country blind for years. At the same time, later on in this year, energy prices are going to be so high, some of my people will be spending 2 full months of take-home pay. on energy. And you're telling us that we're greedy for expecting workers to keep up with that. What we need in this country is a cost of living crisis addressed through the wage packet, and we need price caps on energy, and we need the profits taken down a peg or two. Because the people at the top of the economy, they're having a disco, and everyone else is being told that they've got to carry the can and tighten their belts. It's not on.
They're having a disco. Fucking get up, Eddie. I love that.
I absolutely loved every word of it. War Lad does have a theory, though, that like all people from trade unions that go on the telly all sound like Billy Bragg. And at first I thought he was just having a thing of like anybody south of Darlington just sounds the same. But sometimes like I kind of listen to like Mick Lynch and like Eddie Dempsey and Bob Crowe and do think, maybe there's something in it. I don't know.
Yeah, but, honestly, articulate working class people who tie these fucking talking heads up in a box. I just love every second of this new dawn of trade unionism and general, getting on the offensive and just telling them how it is.
And challenging them as well and kind of saying, like, you know, how is this greedy? What a good point to make about, you know, look at what people are spending on energy, and you have the brass neck to turn around and call us greedy. It's not, you know, they're not separate from us. They're, you know, they're working people. And the point as well that he made that, you know, commuters are going to be having a bad day anyway, because, you know, whether they're striking or not, because of what they're paying on ticket fares, because they're closing actual physical ticket offices, which makes accessibility really difficult for certain people. No, everything he said was bang on. Absolutely love it.
Big up Eddie Dempsey in the RMT. Definitely. Big up yourself, Alice, and also big up everybody. A couple of final words from the people. Ms. Gillum, glad to have caught some of the show. Brought some sanity to my camping trip. Big up yourself, mate. Enjoy the rest of your camping trip. If you're anything like me, you'll be covered in fly bites. Them big horse flies, keep away from them. I'd show you on my side, but I swear to God, I've been destroyed. Also, short to the point, Lisa Gregory, thank you. No, Lisa, thank you. Thank you very much for being here, my friend. Anyway, this has been Cow Daily. Please give us a nice review and all that on the Spotify and the Apple Podcast, because it does help. Any final words there? Orko/snarf?
I don't think you are the Orko today, Dark Orko.
Dorko. Good night. Bye. See you. Bye-bye.